Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalis out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Just another great day. Another great day dealing with my clients that I work with on a day-to-day basis. Another day of getting in a great workout via the program Body Beast from Sagi. I'm right now working on building up some muscle. I've lost since 2012 about 130 pounds, and now I'm looking at working on building some muscle with the Beast. So, that program and all the other programs that I've done associated with Beachbody, so like Insanity and P90X and all those, and they're all available on the platform Beachbody On Demand. And I'm going to ask you this question, Todd. If I were to tell you, you could have access to every single program ever produced by Beachbody, so we're talking Insanity, P90X, 22-Minute Hardcore, Body Beast, what I'm talking about now, every single program that's already currently out, and any program comes out in 2017, you get total access to with no additional cost. Out of curiosity, just throw out a number. What do you think people would have to pay for that? Every program ever produced plus every new program that they're going to come out. What would you think?
So like a one-time fee deal for all the programs?
Yeah, so Beachbody On Demand typically works. You either pay every quarter or you can pay one yearly fee. But typically they have some programming that you get access to for no additional cost. But any of the newer programs and any new programs that come out, you have to pay additional costs for it. So you're going to get, you have to pay no additional cost for every single thing in the library that they've ever done, plus anything new.
I'd say like $199, $200, somewhere in that range.
Well, you actually kind of nailed it right on the head. They have a challenge pack offer right now that you can sign up for all this instant access for the year for just $199. And this is typically... this is going to last until the end of February. Then it's probably going to go up in cost because you get this value is just unheard of. Like if you're going to buy each and every single program individually that they offer, you're going to be probably spending almost $6,000. So they're giving you $6,000 worth of programming for the challenge pack, which comes with the Shakeology and a month supply of Shakeology for $199, which is a huge steal. And if you want to, get fit in 2017, this is perfect. You can access Beachbody On Demand anytime, any place, anywhere you want. You got internet. And, what happens a lot is people are really motivated this time of year. They kind of fall off the wagon a little bit. Then they get really motivated again. Then they could fall off the wagon. Then they get really motivated again. Well, with this, you got all the programs for the entire year that you can pick from. Or if you get bored with the program, let's go do something else. So, I just thought this is a big deal. I think this is a huge value. And if you don't want to do the challenge pack, you could do it for $99 for the year. And I just think this is a huge value. I think anyone, should take advantage of this. And you're going to also work with me for taking advantage of it. And I'll work with you and encourage you, support you, coach you in any facet that you need. So, all you got to do, just get in contact with me, coachevan66@gmail.com, and I'm here to help you. So I just wanted to share that with the listeners. I haven't shared that in a while. I'm just blown away of just how awesome this deal is. So I hope you didn't mind me throwing that out there really quick, Troy. I just, I haven't talked about it in a while. I haven't talked about my workouts in a while, and I just had to get that off my chest because, my workouts get me, super excited and pumped up, and to me, it's a big stress reliever. I deal with a very tough group of kids, and that's my vice, working out. That's my vice. That's how I clear my head, and we all got to find the vice that clears our head. And now, you know, we're going to be spending a lot of time today's show talking Steelers. And someone has got to figure out a vice is probably Roger Goodell, who is not going to be attending the AFC Championship game. His vice is attending the NFC Championship game instead. So we're going to touch on that a little bit, too. But before we do get into the preview of the Steelers-Patriots, how are things out in Western PA?
Going good, and I want to let the fans know Evan and I did not rehearse that. Evan, now that I guessed the price, I think I should go on like The Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal or something like that. We did not rehearse that, folks. That
no,
was non-rehearsed. And the reason I you know, the reason I went with that too is because I know that you're big into it, so I figured there was some kind of great deal on, and I'm thinking, well, probably about, if I was doing this, I'd say like $199. So I think I should probably sign up to maybe try to get on The Price is Right soon. But that was
maybe
not rehearsed, folks. That was not rehearsed one bit, but I just want to reiterate, it, you know, you look at it, Evan, $199 for everything you talked about, a gym membership, even with their deals, is like still, what, $40 a month? That's $480 a year.
Yeah.
Plus you got to get in your, plus you got to get in your car. Saying you got to get in your car, you got to go there, you got to work out. You can do these things in the comfort of your own home. And so, yeah, it's a great deal. Hook up with Evan, find him on Facebook. And I know Evan posts a lot of videos out too, and share some of those on our network page also. So if you want to get in shape, Evan is living proof. How many pounds have you dropped to this point now, bud?
Well, since 2012, I'm down about 130.
And it's not all about the pounds. I know that, you know, when you talk to people, it's not all about the pounds because muscle can actually fluctuate your weight. And so I know we're not a nutrition show, but being a former athlete and when I was in, you know, working out and training every day, you can drop pounds, but you're also gaining some weight with muscle mass. There's a whole lot of things that go into a healthy lifestyle, but yeah, Evan is living proof that these things work. So if you're looking to get in shape, make sure you hook up with Evan. But you're right, Evan. Roger Goodell needs to find his happy place, and it's certainly not in New England. Now, I heard it's funny that we're going to talk about this tonight. I was driving around in the car today listening to 93.7 The Fan out here in Pittsburgh, and the morning show guys were talking about Roger Goodell hiding out in Atlanta. And not that they want the Patriots to win, but they were talking about what if the Patriots would make the Super Bowl and then Roger Goodell has to hand the trophy over to Mr. Kraft, the man with the hoodie, and Mr. Brady. You know, how uncomfortable will that be if he had to do that? And again, that's Pittsburgh radio station. They don't want that to happen, but yeah, Roger Goodell, Evan, I think there's a reason. I know last weekend it was because, well, the Georgia Dome could be the last game played at the Georgia Dome. Well, you were at the NFC game last week. Why aren't you at the AFC game this week? And I think part of it is maybe some bad blood between Mr. Kraft and Roger Goodell. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, before I jump into that, I do want to compliment the fact that you said muscle can affect your weight and make it fluctuate. Because when people say muscle weighs more than fat, I want to put my head through a window. Because at the end of the day, 5 pounds is 5 pounds. It doesn't matter if it's all fat or all muscle. 5 pounds of muscle just is stored differently than 5 pounds of fat. It's a different size. So I'm glad you didn't say fat weighs more than muscle. It's about the people that say that. I think the only other people that drive me more crazy are the ones that said, I'm changing my fat into muscle. Again, want to put my head through a window. Anyway, jump to Roger Goodell. You know, this is the final game, final game in Georgia Dome history. So I think that might be part of the reason why he's in Atlanta. I think that might be reason number one. And it also just is very convenient for Roger Goodell that he doesn't have to be in New England for the Patriots and Steelers game because he can use that as an excuse. He can use that as a scapegoat. This is the final game in the Georgia Dome, and I want to be there for it. From my understanding, Goodell and Robert Kraft are still kind, you know, still pretty close. They just kind of had a little disagreement over the whole Deflategate situation. But I completely get why Roger Goodell is not going to be in the wing. Now, if the Steelers get the win, he won't have a choice. He'll have to be at the Patriots game. And if the Patriots happen to win the Super Bowl, he gets to present Tom Brady and Robert Kraft with the Super Bowl trophy. But, you know, the same thing kind of happened when Deflategate initially happened. I think it was the that same year the Patriots beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. So, but, you know, Roger Goodell is going to do Roger Goodell. We've talked about that constantly on the show. He is the jury and executioner of of the National Football League. That's how he is. So I'm not surprised he's in Atlanta. He's got a perfect scapegoat and the reason why. So about the Patriots-Pittsburgh game, you know, and here's the thing with the conference championship game. They're both a rematch from earlier in the year. And the Patriots won that game earlier in the year. And one of the biggest reasons why New England won that game, there was no Ben Roethlisberger in that game. Ben Roethlisberger did not play. They had a backup quarterback, and it was a tough matchup for Pittsburgh. They were without their quarterback, and New England is New England. New England's a very good football team, and they definitely took advantage of the fact that Ben Roethlisberger wasn't playing. Landry Jones was the quarterback for that game. It was a 27-16 game on October 23rd. Now we got Big Ben, maybe still a little hobbled with an ankle. I don't know how serious the ankle is. But you also have Le'Veon Bell, who is benefiting big time for Big Ben being back. He's been on a tear. And Antonio Brown, I can't find enough words to describe just how good of a wide receiver that he is. Now, what he chose to do in the locker room post-game, yeah, that could be questioned, but there's no questioning just how good Antonio Brown is as a wide receiver. When you look at Pittsburgh, though, Troy, you know, one of the things that Bill Belichick does really good, limiting what you do well, limiting what you do best. That is what he does really well. He shuts down what they're good at. So there's going to be two major focuses on Bill Belichick and the defensive coordinator's game, finding ways to slow down Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Because outside Le'Veon Bell, you got D'Angelo Williams, who didn't have a great year, filling in for Bell. He didn't have as good of a year as he did the year prior. And outside of Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell is the second leading receiver on the team for the regular season with 75 catches. After that, you got Eli Rogers at 48 for 594, and that's 39 for 338. So the Steelers don't really spread the ball around that. They look for Antonio Brown in 106 catches and Le'Veon Bell at 75. And Le'Veon Bell had 261 carries on the year, too. So he had well over 300 touches. Against Pittsburgh, that's not going to be, you know, that's not going to be good enough. Against New England, that's not going to be good enough. New England's going to look to slow and shut those two guys down. They're going to force Ben to beat you with somebody else. Somebody else is going to have to step up on offense and have an outstanding game for the Steelers if the Steelers want to win this game. And defensively, the Steelers got to get pressure off the middle. Tom Brady, Troy, great at climbing the pocket. That's what Brady does well. He doesn't move left or right very well. He struggles when you get guys at his feet. You get that pressure off the middle. He can't step up in the pocket. You give him a dirty pocket that he can't step up in, you're going to frustrate him. And really, New England is full offensively of a bunch of slot guys. And then they got Metarius Bennett. They really got to focus on shutting down Bennett and those slot guys and force Brady to have to try to beat you down the field. I know you probably think that sounds crazy, Troy, when I say force Brady to beat you down the field. when the Steelers' corners aren't the greatest. But the Patriots don't have a deep vertical passing threat except for Chris Hogan, and he isn't very scary to me. So what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh's side of things offensively and defensively? What does Pittsburgh have to do? Because like I said, Belichick's going to look to force somebody other than Brown and Bell to beat them. What does Pittsburgh have to do to win this game?
They need to call Heath Miller and get him out of retirement. That's what they need to do. And I bring that up for one reason. If you look back to the Chiefs game, it kind of piggybacks off what you said. They kicked 6 field goals. They could not stick the ball in the end zone. They need to find somebody else to go to besides Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They do have Eli Rogers. I like this Eli Rogers kid. I've watched him play a lot. I think he's going to turn out to be a pretty good receiver in the NFL. But they need to find another guy. Ladarius Green was supposed to be the guy. And if you go back, when he was healthy and on the field, Ben had another weapon. And that offense was on another plateau. They were better than they are now with Bell and Brown because Ben had another weapon down the seam. Heath Miller may have lost a step down, and that's why he retired. But they have Jesse James. He made a couple catches against Kansas City. They used him early, and they're going to have to against New England. They're going to have to utilize that tight end position, and I think they can utilize that. But can Jesse James be the guy? And that's why I bring up in a sarcastic way, they need to call Heath Miller and get him out of retirement because they need that extra weapon. And Jesse James has been somewhat reliable, Evan, just they don't go to him a lot because other teams haven't been able to shut down both Brown and Bell. And they've pretty much had their way with one or the other. You know, Brown will get 9-10 catches, 100 yards, maybe a touchdown or two. Le'Veon Bell will carry the ball 20 times, 120 yards, maybe a touchdown or two. New England, you're absolutely right. We'll figure out a way, however it is, in rolling coverages or stacking the box, whatever they do, they'll figure it out. Somebody else has to emerge, and I think it has to be Jesse James. Could be Eli Rogers, but I would put my money on the best mismatch somewhere along the line will be Jesse James and that offense. And I know Ben has went to him, Evan, so I would look to Jesse James. I'm actually thinking about, well, because everybody knows that listens in that are fans that I play DraftKings. Probably go with Jared Cook, but I actually might put Jesse James in as my flex player this week for these games because I really believe that Ben will have opportunities with Jesse James, and they've got to do something in the red zone, Evan. They cannot beat the Patriots kicking field goals. And what the Chiefs did is they took Brown and Bell out of the equation in the red zone, and nobody else stepped up. And so I think that's where Jesse James has to be really big. It's inside the 20. It was funny watching that game. It was like reliving Packer frustrations from a year ago, Evan, when we were talking about red zone inefficiency. They just didn't have anybody to go to in the red zone. And the Chiefs figured out a way to stop him. And you know for sure that Mr. Belichick has watched that game film and watched what the Chiefs did in the red zone to eliminate them from getting in and scoring 7 points or 6 points. But you're absolutely right. You hit it on the head. There has to be an X factor outside of the Brown Bell. Big Ben also, Evan, I think, is a key in this game. And I say that. I know the interception in the red zone was tipped and deflected. But Ben has this, it probably doesn't get scrutinized as much, but being longtime Brett Favre fans, Evan, we knew that Brett Favre would always have 2-3 bad throws. Guess what? Big Ben has that too. It's just not scrutinized as much. He's got to eliminate those. It's funny to say that a quality quarterback like Big Ben has to play one of his best games ever, and I think he does. He can't have those 2-3 throws that are bad, where the Patriots can get a turnover. I think this Patriot offense, and flipping over to the defensive side of the ball for Pittsburgh, New England will be able to do what they want. I know Steeler fans that are listening in are probably ready to lynch me. And I know the Steelers' defense has gotten better, and I know they've applied pressure. but I want to look at it from the standpoint of you really haven't faced a Tom Brady in the stretch. And I know Tom Brady's not a mobile guy, and he's not going to break the pocket. He's not going to run for 50, 60 yards like Aaron Rodgers did. But Brady is a sneaky little quarterback, and I mean that in the best of ways. He'll find a way to move the pocket. He'll find a way to slide up in the pocket. We've talked about gap control many times on this show. They've got to have it, and they've got to find pressure with Brady. If they take away that short game, I think you're absolutely right on the game planning for the Patriots, and it's maybe stretch the field a little bit. Don't let those cornerbacks cheat at the line and disrupt receivers off the line. I think a guy that's probably going to have a pretty big game is LeGarrette Blount. The thing with the Patriots, though, Evan, they can hurt you in a couple of ways in the backfield. They got the power guy in Blount, and then they got Deion Lewis, who is your all-purpose back. He can carry the ball. He can catch the ball to the backfield. And we all know the way Belichick operates. He could care less what name is on the back of your jersey. Whoever is going to be able to exploit the defense is the guy that's going to get the rock. He doesn't care who you are. And that's the system in New England. And so whether it's Blount or whether it's Lewis, I think those two backs, both of them, can be trouble for Pittsburgh. People want to say their defense has gotten better, and it has. But the pass rush, to me, is going to be one key, but it is also stopping the run. If they let Blount get going and run for 4 or 5 yards at a crack, and then Lewis coming out of the backfield, catching the ball, could be a long day for that Pittsburgh defense. New England's going to try to move the chains. They're going to be methodical. The thing is, their key is Bennett at tight end. What a great signing by them. You already had Gronkowski. You go and sign Bennett. I mean, it's almost like, what kind of foreshadowing do you have? And we know Gronk has had a history of nagging injuries, and maybe that's why they went out and did it. But Bennett is a mismatch for most teams. And him and Brady have found a connection. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's at the level that Gronkowski is, but he's still a tight end that can move the chains, can spread the field, big target. I think this New England offense, Evan, just can give the Steelers a lot of fits because they can do a number of things. They can change the backfield up, go from a power run game to a more – you know, quick backfield with Deion Lewis. So you can't hone in, oh, we're going to stop the run. Well, that's great. You stop the run with Blount, then they're going to put Lewis in and they're going to do some different things with a more elusive back. So I think there's a lot of problems on that side of the ball for the Steeler defense. And again, I know it's gotten better, but, you know, you said applying pressure to Brady when they have it, they've got to win down in distance. I think against the Patriots, the way you beat them, you have to win on first down. You have to have a stalemate, so it's 2nd and 10, 2nd and 8. You have to put them into those situations where they have to throw long, where they can't go with those short 4 or 5 yard passes, the slant routes. You need to get them down in distance. You have to win, and that all starts on first down. So that's my long-winded answer.
Jumping to New England really quick. New England, it's going to be very tough for Pittsburgh to win. New England is a team on a mission. They're on a mission. There's no other way to put it. They are a team on a mission. And one thing the Patriots do well is spread the ball around. It's very hard to game plan a team against Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady. And you look at the Patriots receivers, they have Julian Edelman with 98 catches, James White with 60, Bennett with 55, Hogan with 38, Malcolm Mitchell with 32, and then Danny Amendola with 23, Deion Lewis with 17. And he missed quite a bit of the year with the knee injury. You had Gronkowski at 25, but he obviously isn't going to play. So that's a number of receivers with double-digit catches. And Deion Lewis is the X factor in this game for New England and Pittsburgh. Because Lewis, like I said, missed a lot of the year. due to a knee injury, recovering from ACL surgery. End of the year, which is 64 carries and 17 catches. Pittsburgh's got to contain him. He's an explosive player. He's a very explosive playmaker. And if they can't slow him down, that's who Brady's going to be looking for when he's going to dump it off. He's going to be looking for Lewis. He's going to be looking for Lewis, looking for Lewis, looking for Lewis. You got to get Brady off that first lead. Force him to look somewhere else. Unfortunately, with the Patriots, for the Steelers, they have a lot of someplace else to look. You have Julian Edelman, like I said. You got Amendola, James White, Bennett. Like I said, a lot of weapons. A lot of weapons in Tom Brady's arsenal. And Tom Brady, he played probably the worst game that he's played in quite some time in the playoffs the other night. Last Saturday against Houston. That's probably the worst game he's ever played in the playoffs. Tom Brady's going to be come back. He's going to be focused. He's going to be driven. He's going to be looking to rebound from that very piss poor performance. Pittsburgh's going to have their hands full. They're going to have their hands full. Can Pittsburgh win this game? Yeah, they could win the game, but they got to pretty much play a perfect game. Can't turn the ball over. Can't settle for field goals, like you said, Troy. If they get a chance with the points, they got to score touchdowns, and they got to find a way to get Tom Brady uncomfortable, and that is getting pressure up the middle. Screw up his timing. Get pressure up the middle. Do not allow him to climb that pocket. So, looking at the matchup, I've been thinking Pittsburgh most of the week. That's where I've been leaning. Something about Pittsburgh, that's where I wanted to go. I think the Killer Bees are pretty tough to knock out. However, I have a hard time betting against New England. And I think New England does end up winning this game. It's hard to bet on a Bill Belichick coach team. And really what made me go with the Patriots, there is an article put out by the Monday Morning Quarterback, article put out talking about Tom Brady by Jenny Ventrus. You can find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventrus. And then you can find us the pinned tweet at the MMQB. And it kind of talks about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's relationship. Great article. And that is the reason why I changed my mind on my prediction. I think the Patriots are going to win it. And I think the Patriots are they're out for blood. They're out for blood this year. So I think the Patriots move on to play the Super Bowl. What about you? What are your predictions here?
No, I've flipped a coin a million times. You can go down the path that shows the Steelers and why they can win, and there's a path to show why the Patriots can win. This truly comes down to home field advantage for me, Evan. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think you see a lopsided score like we've seen in a number of these games that have been played in the NFL playoffs. I think you're going to see more of a result of the Sunday-type games that we saw this past weekend in the NFL. It's going to come down to basically who has the ball at the end of the game. And I put my money on Tom Brady at New England. So sorry, Pittsburgh fans. I know I live out here. You've probably just thrown more fire on the lynching of me from earlier in the show. But it's in New England. If this game was in Pittsburgh, I'd probably favor Pittsburgh to win. And it's going to come down to what I said before. There's going to be a play where Ben just has a bad throw, and it's going to be a costly turnover. It may only be one. For Pittsburgh, Evan, I think what they need to do is they need to come out and up-tempo the pace of the game. And the reason I say that, you brought up how Belichick will game plan. Well, he's going to try to take away Bell or Brown. Okay, well, make him tip his hand early. And when you figure out what they're trying to do, then just up-tempo it. Let Big Ben run the two-minute offense for a little bit. See if you can get New England off of their game plan, because if they can't substitute, if they got to call plays on the fly, that can change that game plan. And that way Ben can then see the flow of the game, and he can move up and down. You got to have the right personnel in the game, don't get me wrong. But I think that's a way that they can up-tempo, get an early lead. If they can get an early lead, I think they can do some things. And but again, I'm torn. I really am. This is a game where you can sit down and you can write the pros for each team and the cons for each team and literally not be wrong. I mean, you can say why the Patriots are going to win, and nobody can debate that. You can say why the Steelers will win. Nobody can debate that. It comes down to home field advantage. It comes down to the game being in New England, who gets the ball last, and Tom Brady. I mean, you look at the matchup here, Evan, and you got two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. People ask the question, who do you want to have the ball in their hand the last 2 minutes of the game? Tom Brady, Big Ben. I'll take either one of them. It's 1A and 1B, and I mean, I'm just going with those two right now and not talking about Rodgers or anybody else. But when you look at this game, you say, which of these two quarterbacks would you rather have at the end of the game? I want both of them. They're 1A and 1B. They both can orchestrate drives at end of games. And I just think it comes down to the game being in New England. That's why I give the edge there. So that's all I got, Evan. What else you got tonight?
I got nothing else at all. Just make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Evanwood Sports, at Red Light Sports, and at Troy Robert 967. So make sure you give us a follow and let us know your thoughts on who makes the Super Bowl out of the AFC, the Patriots or the Steelers. And if also you want any information or talk about what I talked about at the beginning of the show, you can always follow me on Twitter. I do follow back, and we can chat. So I'm going to throw it back to you to let the listeners go.
Yeah, the shows go so fast. We're already into archive time. Tomorrow night, big show, though. It's going to be the NFC Championship preview, Atlanta Falcons versus Green Bay Packers. So it will we'll be talking about that matchup exclusively tomorrow night for a half hour, and then we'll have our predictions. Evan and I both believe the Patriots are going to advance out of the AFC. Tomorrow night we'll give you our NFC predictions. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Wood-Ellison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.